they finally gave up and said, we're not getting any money out of this character. He doesn't know what an Apple card is, and he doesn't know where to be able to get this. And he said that he can't get out of jail right now to be able to go do that anyways. And they just, they kind of went away like, gee. So I turned it over to the corporate security people, and they went, well done. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, we're very gullible. We're a society of people that, in general, try to help other people. And that makes us very vulnerable.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the GoingNorthPodcast.com shop. It is going to help you have northbound direction to your own success. If you want a great inspirational quote like advance others to advance yourself, or today a reader, tomorrow a leader, heck, even some puns like pile on and always fully booked on your tote bag, mug, hoodie, heck, even a t-shirt, and many, many other items. Head over to GoingNorthPodcast.com, click on the shop tab, and cop yourself some merchandise indeed. And that's GoingNorthPodcast.com/shop. Well, today on the Going North Podcast, the wonderful highlight reel builder for authors. It's the era of returning, half not returning guests. It's a first ever where it's like, oh yeah, the host is going to be in one of those handicapable matches, aka handicap matches. Good old 2-on-1 where, hey, it was supposed to be an author duo booked, but one had to sell some books. They had to sell by the truckloads, and it was like, hey, well, we can't have both of us missed the interview and one not missing all these sales. So we got them both back on the show. The dynamic duo is back indeed, because we got a wonderful technology expert who is also tag teaming up with a wonderful technology professional who loves to review wonderful technology and business programs to help clients create a path to deliver the best workplace experiences. So let's have a big, nice welcome back for Mr. CB, not the cornerback himself, the one and only Charles Brakefield, and his wonderful tag team partner to complete the dynamic duo, the radiant and beautiful Rox Berkey. How you doing today, Charles and Rox?
Woo! Awesome.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Woo-hoo, appreciate you. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. I heard Rox was afraid of the cornfields that appear after you appear on the podcast, so she had to sell books instead. So she probably came back around too. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. But hey, it's all good. Glad you can make it this time. It's the first time where it's like, oh yeah, the duo's freaking here. They're freaking complete. So how's it feel? Still together after how many books? My God, was it 32 books? You counting?
No, it's a lot. You know, it's the series is like 14, and then we got a whole bunch of short stories. And so which ones have you read, Dom?
Man, which ones have I read? Like, I started with the first Enigma Tracer, but that was months ago. So I kind of forgot probably most of it, trying to read through the other guest books. Falling behind the wayside.
It's okay. You can always start again.
Yes, indeed. A lot of catching up to do. I need Sonic the Hedgehog to jump in my head. but it ain't about Blue Hedgehog, so it's about you, lovely, wonderful, dynamic duo. So my goodness, how's life been treating you? Here you got another book that's coming out this year, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. So it's really right after we... Oh, you're good, Dom. I knew you were good, but whoa. Yeah, The Killer Enigma. It's going to be wonderful. People are going to love it. So we took a little deviation. We went down the cozy mystery path, you know?
That's what I'm talking about indeed. So I guess folks are tired of living in the current technology. I was like, oh, let's make them cozy. Let's have them curl up with the cat.
Exactly. You know, everything is like, ooh, give me some wine. Give me a cover up. And I'm like reading and listening forever.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. Listening forever indeed. So my goodness, my goodness. So with that wonderful book, what made y'all decide to go the cozy mystery route with all the wonderful genres out there to choose from?
Well, to be honest, we got tangled up with a group called the Underground Authors, Dom. And what they said was, rewind a little bit. We got started with a challenge from one of our co-author friends. He said, see this picture? The picture of this boat kind of lay on the sand. And he goes, write me a short story about this. And 12 of us said, you're on. And we took that challenge and we wrote 12 different short stories from the same picture and published it Beyond the Sea. It was a good exercise. And then one of the authors said, we could expand this to be a full series of books, each of us writing in our own genre. And let's take this one step further. Let's build a hypothetical town in Texas.
It's not hypothetical. It's a small town. Come on now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And everybody build some characters. We'll borrow them back and forth. We'll all have a different view of a city in the hill country of Texas. And it's one of those places that people are dying to get into. Okay. And so everybody is writing a cozy mystery, a thriller, a suspense, drama. And like one a month last year spilled into this year. So we got one more a month and we're number 15.
16.
16. Book number 16 in that series. And people are saying, well, the authors think, can I borrow this character? Can I borrow that character? Yeah, but you can't kill him. I mean, that's so
all right.
Hey, you know, if we create the character, we get to kill it. You don't get to.
Yeah.
It's just the way it rolls.
So we've had a lot of fun doing that. And that's that new book, The Killer Enigma, will be out. Look for Brakefield Berkey and the that cozy mystery series, which is the Magnolia Bluff Rhyme Chronicles.
And the really cool thing about this, Dom, is every book truly is absolutely a beginning and end story. Okay. You don't have to read the rest of this town to get it. It's one and done, but it is so compelling to be able to see how different people portray characters. So, you know, wherever you live, right, you have a next door neighbor that you might like, but the guy across the street can't stand him. Right? You have different viewpoints on exactly the same person. It's exactly what we do in this series.
Yeah. You all live in the same place. You all see the same thing, but you all interpret it differently. And so that's the magic of the series of the Crime Chronicles, Magnolia Bluff. And we have so much fun with it. It's the big industry there is the cemetery. That's the thing that we brag about. And it's the full employment act for the detectives, the police, and the coroner.
That's so, right. And the undertaker.
Yeah, undertaker. Yeah. No. Well, do come along. Yeah, of course.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Well, I guess except for the cemetery, for some folks to be like, oh, God, just creep me out. Let me escape. Like, no, I don't need to meet the undertaker.
Exactly.
Let me meet the overtaker. So my goodness, so was it much of a difficult transition switching over to the cozy mystery genre writing, considering the majority of stuff isn't really cozy mysteries at all?
You know, it was fun though. Yes, it was. It was a totally different kind of perspective. We learned a lot, and that part was really fun. But it's different from writing techno thrillers. You know, we have to actually create a whole vein of a. You know, here's the clue, here's the clue, here's the clue. Oh, no, they didn't do it. They did it. Oh, no, they didn't. They did. So it's, you know, a lot of dead ends for me. It's fun. It's fun. Different. Yeah.
And what was gratifying was to have some of the other authors say, we want to read the book, too. We got these nice notes back. Like, loved it. That was not, it's different than what I would have read, would have written Charles and Rocks. But it's very gratifying to have the other authors look at it, review it, and go, a nice addition to the series. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about indeed. And the good news about the upcoming book, and y'all get to explore a new genre. Y'all probably expanded some more skills indeed. And funny enough, I forgot to get Rox's backstory since we didn't get it the last time. So how did you two meet from Rox's side of the wonderful coin? And how's that lead up to now? I guess the short version, I should say.
I'll give you the Reader's Digest condensed version. So I hired him to work at a company I worked for because he had certain kinds of networking skills we needed in that company. So he actually was hired to take over a certain role in there. And we actually ended up working at, I think, three different companies together at different periods of time. So, you know, it's just been very interesting. We worked together as professionals in the businesses that we were in, running different teams and doing workshops and all of this fun stuff. And then, you know, we decided that writing was something we could do, but we needed to take it from a different perspective to be able to take it on our own. And that is where we decided to do fiction. You know, I mean, you can only write so many white papers and technical manuals before you just go, ugh, enough.
No, the technical term is barf. Okay.
Okay. Fine. I never did learn that term.
Okay. Well, I'm getting to your education, parents.
Cool. Anyway, so we ended up working together at several companies. We still work in the professional in the technology field. So we learn lots of different new tech that's coming in. And we still use that. So, you know, you'll notice that the Enigma Tracer came out earlier this year. That's our techno thriller for this year. And this little cozy mystery thing is more fun.
Yeah, well, we've got some short stories that interleave in there. They pop up spuriously. They go, hey, we need a short story for this competition. And, you know, we'll hammer on one and make the deadline, we squeak and okay, yeah, fine. It's like, okay, it was a fun exercise. So we like submitting for the competitions. We like getting our work out there because it's a signpost. It's like, you know, your business, handing out your business card.
We like winning too.
Well, it goes without saying. Okay. Yeah, there it is.
Ain't nothing wrong with winning. Winning's a good darn thing indeed. That's right indeed. Indeed. So my goodness, so speaking of winning, y'all have just been building the wonderful collection of books brick by brick. So my goodness, so is it a goal to at least have two published books per year, it sounds like, for you?
That's what we've been kind of aiming for. Thank you for noticing that. We appreciate it. And, you know, COVID was a little tough, though, because we couldn't meet with people. And one of the ways we developed characters is by talking to readers. And unfortunately, you know, that took away from building those characters. So now we're back in it.
Yeah. We're always shopping for new character types that intrigue us. That's like, okay, we can use that personality here. We can use that personality there. And to be honest, we're always looking for a new evil genius, Dom. But by the way, do you have a resume? I think you could qualify as a good evil genius for one of our upcoming books. And
no, he could be a hero. He could be the reluctant hero.
Reluctant hero. Okay. All right. Well, it's
I guess if I was an evil genius in some place, it would basically involve puns and folks being in an endless maze. It's like, how do you trace your way to the freaking exits? Like you just have to navigate through the puns. You got to find the code behind the puns.
No, I think you'd be much better as a reluctant hero.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of corn cobs, it's random saving random humans.
That's it. I love it.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, so I'm guessing coffee shops aren't just the only places where you shop for characters, I imagine, in this case, do you?
No, everywhere we go. I mean, my next trip is on a cruise next week. And so I'm telling you, I'm going to look at that whole ship and see what kind of little characters I can put together from that little adventure. And you know, when you have a large audience of people, you know, you can select that characteristic and this characteristic, and ooh, I really like that. You know, it makes a wonderful, I don't know,
composite. You know,
composite for somebody really fun that doesn't even exist, but it's fun.
So if you see some of your, if you read some of our books, you see some characteristics that sound a lot like Dom, apologies in advance.
Oh no, we're not going to apologize. We just.
Yeah. All right. We pirated. Okay. How about that? Yeah. That's easy to say.
Well, you know, I mean, what is the best form of flattery? Right? Copying is the very best form of flattery. So, you know, we may copy some of the mannerisms and use them, and it's all meant in good graces.
I always thought the best flattery was heavy tipping. I mean, am I wrong?
No, that's all good. Okay. If you're a waiter, you love it.
Okay. All right. I thought so, but just checking.
There you go. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. All the tips on the scales, keeping them heavy. That's right indeed. So my goodness. So I guess not only character shopping, has there been any scales in the past, I'd say a year or so, that's probably been polished since I guess Charles' appearance on the show. I think that was like, wow, 8 months ago now to think about it. So my goodness, have y'all been picking up anything new under the writing umbrella to make yourselves better writers?
No, it's something that we do all the time, Dom. We try and get feedback from other people. You know, constructive criticism, I think it works for all of us when we get comments that are from the heart as opposed from the bashing side of the world. And that's why talking to the readers is so key.
Yeah. You know, being able to, we had a show going on tomorrow. We're into a library. And we invariably, there's always somebody like, tell me about your books. That's the best time to be able to chat with somebody and you know, put your wares on the table, so to speak, verbally. And then say, what do you like to read? And then you start peeling back their likes and dislikes, and it becomes an honest communication exchange where it's like, okay, all right, that's good. That's good feedback. That's good feedback. I like hearing that kind of stuff. And it's, you only get that face-to-face. It's a, you don't get it from a chatbot. I'm sorry. There it is. I mean, it's you know, you and I talking, and Rock's coughing. So that's
There you go. Ain't nothing wrong with coughs dropping.
Sorry.
You're wrong.
It's important to be, you know, I don't know. I've always liked being do business with people. At least that's how I was brought up. And so to hide behind social media, to hide behind email, or to hide behind anonymous posts, I mean, it just doesn't work for me. You know, I would rather learn about Dom as a person, as a podcaster, as a, you know, your perspective, rather than try and figure out what the, you know, what the puppet in the window is saying. You're a person. You're a real live person. And I'm interested in you as a person. I don't, the other stuff is like nonsense to me.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. I guess that's why technology is a big influence on a lot of your writings.
Well, you'll notice our little tagline back there, right? I mean, technology is today's weapon of choice. So if you aren't careful, you can put yourself way too far on the edge.
We have a conveyor belt of exploits, of problems, you know, horrific issues where, you know, identities are erased, where, you know, code is dropped into a company that propagates it to other companies. And now they're under investigation from the SEC saying, you know, gee, you kind of screwed up here. You weren't doing a very good job, and you poisoned other companies with the code that you weren't watching. So all of a sudden it's like, this is another attack vector. This is the, let me attack the your suppliers so they can attack the people. It's a horrific game, and it's the bad guys are always ahead of the good guys. And it's always, you're always playing catch up. And so those are the exploits we like to take, make stories about, you know, worrying behind, but how do the good guys finally win? That's the, That's the secret sauce we'd like to be able to deliver.
And a little tiny bit of teaching, right? Like, you know, you want to avoid identity theft and stop telling everybody where you're going to be when. You know, Facebook is a wide open book. Stop telling the world that you're going on vacation for 4 weeks because the robbers will hit your house. Okay? Just that easy.
It didn't take people too long to realize, don't put your kids' names t-shirt on them and send them to school because people call their names and all of a sudden they're gone. Those are the kind of things that the lessons like, it's unfair. I admit it. But that's what the bad guys do. They exploit the things that you're not watching on.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. And you're so right, especially with that good old wonderful Facebook. Funny enough, I actually was at a conference one time and a buddy told me how he actually ended up blowing up his own spot and ruining his marriage with his wife because took pictures in a certain environment and apparently was with that wonderful side chick and the wife caught wind of it and then it blew up his whole spot. Apparently, yeah, they tracked him down. Marriage is over because he was caught cheating. So yeah. Folks putting too much business out there.
Exactly right. I mean, you just have to be careful. You really have to be careful. I know you want to share with your friends, but if you're connecting with people that you really don't know, then, you know, stop talking.
I had an interesting attack leveled at me a couple of months back. It came through my cell phone, and I'm like, my corporate cell phone, not my personal one, but it said, hi, I need you to go to the store and buy 15 $100 Apple gift cards so I can give them to these people that I'm dealing with. By the way, I'm the CEO of the company. And he put his name down there. And I'm like, that's the CEO. How'd they get my number? And if I wasn't hyper aware about these kind of attacks, I might run down and actually buy that stuff and then say, okay, where do I deliver it? Because that's what they're looking for. And so I played cat and mouse with them. I won't go into all of it because it goes through several attack vectors and counter attack vectors that you'd have to, I need more adult beverage to consume before I could tell you all that. Suffice to say that they finally gave up and said, we're not getting any money out of this character. He doesn't know what an Apple card is, and he doesn't know where to be able to get this. And he said that he can't get out of jail right now to be able to go do that anyway. So, you know, they kind of went away like, gee. So I turned it over to the corporate security people, and they went, well done. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, we're very gullible. We're a society of people that in general try to help other people. And that makes us very vulnerable.
Yeah, it's true. It's definitely true indeed. It's like, oh, yeah, let me be a nice human being for once. And it's like, oh, crap, it was a trap. Dang gummit. Wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, my leg's cut in. I can't get out.
That's right indeed. But hey, it's good that you can slip some teaching in with the novels as well, because folks are going to need it, especially those who feel like, I'm not going to get scammed ever. Like, I'm ultra paranoid here. They can't stop a paranoid person. Like, anybody can.
Exactly. And you're right, because people keep saying, no, it happened to that guy down there. It's not going to happen to me.
And we've talked to those people who said, it happened to me. I can't believe it happened to me. And that's the sad part. That thinking, it can't happen to me. It does. It happens all the time. You're attacked all the time. So sometimes the free information, from people like us saying, be careful of this because they will take your identity and leave you with nothing. That's what we try to be able to help people prevent.
So I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, so anything that sticks out from what you hear when you're out doing events and whatnot after folks read your novels, like, oh man, I never would have considered this. Is there a major security risk that folks don't even consider that they may have figured out after reading some of your books?
You know, it's funny, you know, the very first book in the major series really focuses on identity theft, and it is all about using very strong passwords. So for people that don't know what that means, it's like something more than your child's name or your cat's name. You know, it's something that's very hard. So Charles's favorite one is to do a passphrase called, you know, my neighbor is a really son of a gun. And that's, you know, a passphrase, hard to break that.
Actually, the way I rephrase it is that, you know, I need to buy rat poison to kill the next door neighbor because he parked his car on my lawn again.
Okay. So, all right.
And that's really hard to guess unless you're the next door neighbor across the street thing, you know, I know what he's thinking. So, but the passphrase, they're easier to remember. And you come up with something that nobody was going to be able to guess. That's the thing, or nobody can fish for on your social media. Here's all the things that are important to me, my color, my kids, you know, anniversary names. And then they put that into the hopper and say, okay, let's hack their account. And and here's some of the contextual clues for doing that. So these are the things that you don't give contextual clues for. You basically say, let me invent something that's almost impossible for you to guess with enough decades of trying. And then it's safe for me to remember, so that I have to write it down on a piece of paper and put it underneath the keyboard.
So if folks will come to our website, enigmaseries.com, and they go to the area that's called free stuff, they can download things like how to avoid phishing attacks. And that's not with an F, that's with a PH. how to do passphrases, those are free downloads for people to kind of help them protect themselves. So we're anybody who wants them to help yourself.
Yeah.
It's just little tips and tricks. You just have to be careful. You know, it's no fun. And it has to do with when you have a good heart. When you have a good heart, the bad guys seem to be able to just tap right into that heartbeat and just wreak havoc.
Yeah. Don, just so you know, we're on a podcast with another delightful gentleman, much like yourself, and we started on this discussion about free stuff, passwords, and cyber attacks, almost froze on camera, and it took him a second to be able to unwind and said, I should go ahead and give you full disclosure here. We were hacked. I only got my system back online yesterday after a week of being hammered by the cyber bad guys. They compromised everything, and he was like about halfway down. So it was like we've seen it personal, up close and personal. It's not our imaginations, although our imaginations.
We have good imagination.
Yeah, great imagination, but.
Storytelling has something to do with that.
The things that we're warning about, these are real attack vectors.
And the problem is people think personal attacks. They're not personal attacks. They could care less. They have, you know, 1,000 fishes they're going to go after, and they finally find one to take the bait. That's it. They could care less. You would mean nothing to them other than a potential payday.
And not the candy either.
Exactly right. No kidding. I love that candy, though. I shouldn't have used that word. Thanks, Tom. Damn. Sorry.
Don't worry. It's one of the side effects of the podcast. So, my goodness, since you've been on so many interviews promoting the good work you're doing and all the good old words you putting pen to paper on and putting out for folks to devour and read and learn from. Is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
I really wish folks would ask more often, you know, how can I get a code to get a free Audible download? Because we have them. Or where can we see you next time? Because it's on our website on events. Or can I be your next hero? In the book?
Well, the other one too is like, where have you guys been? Well, we need more content for the new series we want to be able to put in cinema.
There's that.
Yeah. Do you have an agent that we can talk with? I'm happy to do so.
That last one wins, Dom. You know an agent? Connect us. We'll be all there.
Yeah. And if you do that, you'll get a Christmas card from us again this year, okay? I promise.
So does that mean Mickey Mouse has to add more to his game?
No, we and there, you know.
That's right indeed. Oh my goodness, so a fun question for you. So your upcoming book, The Wonderful Killer Enigma, The Magnolia Love Crime Chronicles, the 16th book in the whole freaking series. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Killer Enigma, it's a food now.
Right. I would say it was like half-melted chocolate. You got to handle it fast. And make sure you don't lose any of it, because it's running quickly, and it's tasty. As you young people say, finger licking good. Okay, that's.
It can't be that. It's got to be more like a more like a tootsie
roll. Well, I'm trying to be sensitive to the.
Can't be that. Okay. It could be a Subway sandwich, though. You know, it's got all the layers that you need to get through the entire mystery.
Yeah.
So it is a mystery. So a Subway sub not made by a sandwich artist. It's made by somebody behind closed doors.
And you never know what's inside. Absolutely.
That's right, indeed. It's not even swollen green. That's too obvious. It could be swirling chocolate. So I need extra worse.
Okay. It could be a dessert Subway, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
We could do that. Sure.
There you go. It's a cookie with train tracks. All right. There we go. Yeah.
I like that.
So I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And this time, Roxy gets to answer it this time because you ain't get it the last time. So if you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Ooh. Don't have all your passwords the same on all of your devices. Make them different. It's too easy to break into you if they're all the same. That would be my advice.
I've got them all.
Yeah, that goes for bank accounts too. Don't make them all the same password. You like that one, huh?
Yeah, because it's true. It's like the main gripe here with my colleagues. Like, I have to change a password so many times. And I have so many. Why do I want another darn user account with a password? I don't want it. Just let me in. Let me use your dang site.
Exactly. I like that question. That's a great question. Thank you, Don.
Well, my pleasure. It's right indeed. It's making you go back 3 years. That's all.
Oh, nice. I jumped right back there, too. It was easy.
Four. Just four.
Great. So she's a golfer. It's only 4 years. All right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Four.
Didn't know the real last name was Woods.
Oh, funny.
Well, speaking of woods, there's actually basically a forest of content y'all have indeed, and folks need to jump in on it. So for those of you to do just that and keep up with your journey, especially when you release some more magical content, what's the best way for folks to do so?
I think the best way for folks is to follow us on enigmaseries.com. You know, get that free stuff. Not everybody will give away free stuff. Truly, this is free. And if you want to follow our email, we kind of alert you to what's going on. And you know, this year we have a contest. Every review that people publish and send the link into our monthly drawing have a chance to win a $25 gift card every single month.
Short stories or novels, makes no difference to us. Reviews are
golden
for authors. You know, again, we appreciate the honesty, the candor, but yeah, it's the review. Please take a look and enter the rafter Rafflecopter.
Hey, it's all good indeed. Better a raffle copper than cops and robbers. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So here at that right, folks, head over to the wonderful Enigma series side. Y'all, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. Cop some magical free stuff if you haven't from Charles's first interview. Indeed, if you are new to the show and you're just hearing it for the first time, indeed, cop some free stuff. Cop some copies of the magical books and add to your magical library. Help it to grow. That's right indeed. Grow into a giant tree, giving positive shade to folks in the summer. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. And then leave a review for a chance to win something. You'll be in a raffle. Oh, good old R&R. One of those wonderful book review raffles. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, any parting words before we close up shop?
Tom, it's been a good pleasure yet again. We appreciate the opportunity to be able to be on your show and exchange barbs and witticisms, and it's always fresh and insightful. So thank you.
And an honor. Thank you very much, Dom.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for 3. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.